It's a fucking people game. It's all about the people. People first, because when we are not focusing on the people, then numbers went down. Not short-wise, but when people are not happy here, I can timer after 4 weeks, the numbers went down.
And now, your podcast hosts, Andre and Christian.
Welcome everyone to another exciting episode of Connecting for Future. I'm your host Christian, and joining me as always is Andre. Today I'm beyond excited because we are recording in person at the SNUX headquarters in Mannheim, Germany. We have the pleasure of sitting down with an inspiring individual who not only founded a successful e-commerce, but also crafted a unique personal brand on social media. The founder and CEO of SNUX, Johannes Dietsch. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Nice introduction. Yeah, in English, it sounds even better than in German, a crafted personal brand. It's nice.
That's why we do it in English.
Yeah,
exactly. That's
amazing.
Reason, yeah. So now being here at the SNUX headquarters, I can feel the energy and passion that drives the brand, actually. Johannes, let's dive into your journey. SNUX has become a household name in the e-commerce world in the German-speaking area. And now you even think about expanding outside of the German-speaking locations. What's your plans and what's working and what's maybe not working until now?
Well, that's, for the start, a big question. So why are we doing it? Because at the moment we are doing in Germany roughly like 95% of our revenue. So it's like last year we made 72 million in net sales, so something like 60 million in e-com Germany. And we are the leading socks and boxer shorts company in the internet in Germany. So we're coming to we cannot scale like to the roof in Germany. Like there is a limit. So we are thinking, okay, how we can scale even further, like in Germany with new product categories besides socks and boxer shorts, like sport category and stuff like that. But also our bestsellers bringing to Europe and also in the US. And we started some years ago with the US market with Amazon. But to be really honest, we're investing like $500,000. And right now we lost, I think, something around 100K. But it's always about personal belongings, because like we had a person, Bath, who has managed the US market for 2 months and it went really well. And then our German team left the company, and then Bath from the US team has to cover the German market as well. And then, the US deprioritized. So we failed right now in the US, but because we do not have any focus on it and nobody is handling at the moment. And I'm truly believe that we can do in the US market Amazon. I think we can handle it. But besides like an online shop in the US, I think that's not possible for us. But we are really good at Amazon and all the marketplace stuff. And I think we can, we can do it in the US. And in Europe, we are doing through like Amazon in France, Amazon in Spain and something like that. We do this year, I think like 5 million in sales. It's okay. 5 million, it's good. But in comparison that we wanted to make this year like 85 million in sales, it's not that much. So it's a really focused theme for us and a high priority that we try to conquer all over Europe.
So let's talk about focus, because I think I would imagine that focus is not easy to achieve, because you're all over the place. You're thinking about new portfolio elements. You're thinking about international expansion. And I would imagine that it's hard to keep a focus and not get lost in all these exciting growth opportunities. How do you do that?
I think the short answer is for every like big like bet, we have a full-time employee on it. That's a fucked up moment about the US. We do not have at the moment a full-time employee on it. So it's not working.
Work.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the short answer. I think for smaller businesses, I think there is a good opportunity that you say, okay, one day per week, I'm really focusing on a several project. For example, like 1 year ago when ChatGPT and all the AI stuff had come to Germany or all over the world, I knew, okay, me as a CEO of a like e-commerce digital business, I have to be really into AI. And first, every Friday, I really focusing on it to learn AI stuff. And then after like 4 weeks, I felt, okay, I'm a person, I got a lot of energy like in to work and partner with somebody else. So I hired a full-time employee, a really like freak. Leon is a full-time employee in AI. He started like last year in March or April when like ChatGPT and all the stuff is coming. And he was sitting for 1 year right next to my table. So every morning I have like half an hour with him. Okay, what's new in the AI world? So
now you know anything about AI.
I think I'm quite really good. I'm a really good prompt engineer. So I can handle this really good. But when it's go really in LLM, so in really the models behind it, then I'm not that crazy good. But I really understand all the stuff and how it's working and how, and that's the most important thing for myself, how can I, as Snox CEO, leverage AI for our e-com business? And that was my main goal in the last 12 months in the AI topic.
Would that be an advice for anybody to just understand how AI is creating chances for themselves and also for the companies that they're working in?
Yes, but not everybody can hire somebody for like a good salary and sit the person right next to me. That's an opportunity and that's my possibilities to do as a CEO who got the major of our business. So not everybody can do this, but if you have the financial resources, I think that was a good move.
It's interesting that you mentioned prompt engineer, right? So the first time we came across this was with Philipp Westermeier 6 months ago on the podcast. He mentioned he's looking for prompt engineers. And now I know why this is such a benefit, having a good experience in prompt engineering.
Yes.
And Johannes, who inspires you?
Wow, that's a really good question. So when I started Snox like 6 or 8 years ago, a big inspiration for myself was Gary Vaynerchuk. He's a big marketing guy in the US who, like, one of his main topics, it's trading attention, that it's not about like what you sell. It's about, okay, how you grab attention from the customers. That was a big inspiring. And yeah, it's really important until now, because at the end of the day, e-commerce businesses, trade attention. Okay. What is good money for good value in attention wise. So that was a big inspiration for myself. But over the time, I think it shifted. Like today, I do not consume like content of Gary Vaynerchuk anymore. Today, there are several people. I think my co-founder Felix and I, we inspired and we were role models each other, because we are hanging out every day like for 12 hours. So yeah. And also like other founders here in Mannheim, for example, like Etienne, Freddy and Alisa, they founded Purelay. It's also a really big e-commerce business. They living right now right next to us in the same house. We see us each day. So they are also big inspire. And also my fiance Belinda, she's getting my wife this September.
And congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Did she say yes already?
Yeah.
Well, good. So that's cool.
Ooh, yeah.
Good thing. Look,
luck for me. And yeah, she's also inspiring me, especially to become a better CEO, become more human, become more empathic and be a good leader. I think she's my biggest inspiration for that.
Incredible. And you not only founded a very successful brand, but also you built your personal brand on social media. When did you start building your own brand? And are you also working by yourself on building your brand? Or do you got like a team who's working on this?
Personal branding got very important for us in the first days, because we are selling socks. It's really boring. And like I said, Gary Vaynerchuk inspires me a lot. And he was talking about, okay, 2016, when we started, you have to do like content marketing. You have to produce content all over your product. And let's see our product, like socks. When we do like their content marketing, it's to talk about feed and nobody wants to talk about this. So in these days, also Höhle der Löwen, it's Shark Tank in the US. In Germany, it's Höhle der Löwen, got really big. Like every Monday or Tuesday, like 2 to 5 million people in Germany look at Tel Aviv show where it's about startups. Felix and I, so we as two founders, we have been only two people back then. We was talking to each other, okay, how we can do content marketing about our products. And then we got like the aha moment, like the, it's not about our like products. It's about, okay, that two cousins they hate their jobs. They build up a startup besides their main job or besides their working at a bank. Let's film or document about this. How is our journey over the time? And the first 2 to 3 years, we did it first on Facebook. Every Monday, I did a update. Snox News was it. And I told the people, okay, what's new in our startup world? What happened? What products we launched? We do not successful at the moment. And then we switched over to Instagram. And for 2 or 3 years, 2 years, it was not that crazy successful. We did it besides our like being a startup entrepreneur. It was okay. It was good to like all our family and friends know, okay, what's happening at Snox, but it was not the business case or like that we got really huge reach. And then I saw LinkedIn popping up in the US. And then I saw, okay, I think there is really good attention for low price. And then a really good friend of mine, fun fact, he got today 30. So I texted him, okay, Ollie.
Oh, we are old, Christian.
Wow. I texted him, okay, Ollie, I got a stupid idea. Can you handle my LinkedIn account? Can you every day, I think you got 20 or 50, you can add like connections. And I was, okay, Ollie, can you do every day just for half an hour, add as many people as we can do? And I posted. And we did it for 2 or 3 months and it went crazy. And then we posted and at the first time, 1 or 2 times a week, and then we increased it. And yeah, later on, Ollie got is a full-time employee kind of for us. He's managing my whole account. I do not use LinkedIn by myself. He's managing all this stuff. And so like I want to mention, like we did personal branded before it's got really huge in Germany, where everybody is like right now really strategic. We did it because we can't do marketing about our products. That was the reason why we started it. But the first 3 years it was fucked up. It's not working really. But it was quite a fun because our family see the content and say, oh, cool, what's happening out there? And when LinkedIn came into Germany, that was a point where like me as a personal brand went like crazy and like, yeah, got mainstream kind of things. And yeah, the last 12 months were crazy. I never expected that me as a person got so famous. And to be really honest, I'm struggling with that because I never want to be a famous person. I love my job as a CEO and stuff like that. And I see a lot of opportunities to be like, have a big network and stuff like that. But I do not feel comfortable when people are coming over the street and want to make photos with me. And so that's not what makes me really happy, but that's part of the game.
So where would you think is LinkedIn still the place to be?
As a like business personal brand, for sure. It's so easy right now with AI. There are good GPTs. We also built one. You can easily build or create a LinkedIn post in 5 minutes and post it just with a picture. It's really, really good at the moment. But we also got a big consultants business. And then when we like ask our new clients and new customers of our B2B consulting, where do you know us from? And more than 50% of the people say, we knew you, Johannes Gliesch, or like Romy Riffel and the consultant business through our own podcast. So we see it that like LinkedIn, it's a really good like first touch point. And I saw you on LinkedIn and stuff like that. That was a nice post. But to build a really community or a relationship to your opponents or to your community, the podcast is the best thing you can do right now. And our podcast, it's like not crazy big. We got 5 to 10,000 listeners every episode. It's okay, but it's not crazy. But like the value of these 10,000 people, it's crazy. We made millions through them.
So we are old, Christian, but we do the right thing.
Yes.
That's what I would.
And if we talk about influencer marketing, we are also from a brand, from Vodafone, we are trying to get people also to build their own personal brand, right? We are supporting special persons to have their own brand, corporate influencing. Do you have some special tips or tricks how you can also, not just as a CEO, but also as individuals, how they should create their own brand?
So I think like just posting on LinkedIn, it's the easiest way. And me as a CEO, they can do it while working here. So it's a win-win for both sides. And I remember 1 year ago, I posted in our Allgemein channel, so where every people in our company is, that I explain it to them, like footballers got a salary from their company. But right now, football players, it's changed over time that their salary depends on how famous they are. For example, Cristiano Ronaldo like went to Saudi Arabia. He never like his salary is, I think, 200 million per year, but he never can like earn it with just the football. But
yeah, it's the merchandising,
yeah,
right?
The merchandising, and he as a personal brand. And so I did another example with Mesut Özil when he went from Real Madrid to Arsenal London. He got a crazy deal, but everybody knew he's not the, at this moment, not the best football player. But he's so famous in Turkey and also in Germany, who got really important for Arsenal London, that they got an increase in their fan base. And that was an example I explained internal, because I say, okay, you can increase your market value for a company when you got more LinkedIn followers, because when you're like famous and got a positive and good reputation on LinkedIn, when you switch your job, you got really good statements and good points on your list, because I'm really believing it, that like, especially when you're switching from a startup, from Snox, and you have like 10,000 followers, switching to a corporate, I truly believe that you can earn 10% more of your salary when you're famous or a good reputation on LinkedIn, because you as a corporate looking for such a people that are talking good about Vodafone and stuff like that. And that was, yeah, that was a good point for the people, where after some weeks I see, okay, like 20 people, something like that, 20% of our employees posting by themselves on LinkedIn. And then we also got a full-time employee in-house who is Marius, who's supporting all of them. And if you're posting like a lot on LinkedIn on yourself, then you got like upgraded to Marius, then he's helping you to post even better. So that's our mechanism and how like a lot of people internal wise post a lot. And some numbers on that, like last year, our Snox, our complete reach on LinkedIn was 50% my account and 50% all the other like 20 to 25 accounts of our employees combined. So that's the real numbers.
Let's talk about soccer a little more. I read that you want to be the Jürgen Klopp of e-commerce.
Yes, but he's...
What do you mean by that?
I think like Jürgen Klopp is stepping down by Liverpool. I'm not stepping down this summer. So this comparison, it's not even fair. But I truly believe that in soccer, like the best players in the world, like Haaland right now, or Harry Kane, or Mbappé, they can choose where they want to play. Like there are 5 to 10 clubs who got the money, who got the reputation and stuff like that. And I think one of the biggest argument why a really, really, really good player switching the club or go to another club is because of the leading team or and the football trainer. And I'm a big Jürgen Klopp fan, because I think he's really good in like football and tactics and so on. But he's also a really, really good person. And that's why a lot of people want to play with Jürgen Klopp, because he's good, but also a really good person. I do not know him personal-wise, but my imagination. And so I say, I want to be the Jürgen Klopp of e-commerce, because I want that the best e-commerce people in Germany want to work with me or with Snox while I'm still a good person.
That's a great mindset. And I was reading that you usually start at 10 a.m., right? This morning you started at 9 or 9:30, and you also said no meetings before 1300, correct?
Yeah, but we are sitting right now here 11, so it's not the total truth. So I'm starting, that's the truth, like 9:30, because I starting with my fiance Belinda having a coffee and then went out with our two dogs, and so we got a kind of slow morning, and I'm not 6 a.m. club or something stupid like that. I need my sleep and I need the slow mornings with my little family, and then I say, yeah, let's go to business, and I start like 9:30, something like that. And I try to not have any meetings before 12. From 12 to 1 p.m. the whole company do the lunch break. That's really important. That's a little hack. We implemented it like several years ago, but it's really important, because that's the time frame where all people got to pause and hang out together, have fun together. And after 1 p.m., then it's starting the call season today. I try to do not have meeting before 12, but right now we got a big shift in our leadership team, and I have to cover a lot. So it's not possible at the moment, but normal-wise, yes, that's the truth.
You already mentioned some of your mindset, right? Can you share more tips about your management style and how this Knox mindset comes in?
Wow, that's a big topic and it's a big question. I'm really thankful and blessed, because I think a lot of the management styles and got like... I got it born, I got born with that. I think I have luck that I'm a kind of good leader by myself. Do not like learn a lot. But I think what I teach every week our leadership team in several topics. And one of the biggest thing I always tell them, it's a fucking people game. It's all about the people. Like people first, because when we are not, we are not focusing on the people, then numbers went down. Not short wise, but when people are not happy here, like I can timer after 4 weeks, the numbers went down. So I really focusing on the people, because we're selling, people sell to people. Like they are buying not the product, they sell to people. And we're really focusing on that. That's one big topic that when some people got like issues, I directly connect to them. I directly talk to them. And I'm not waiting for weeks or something like that, because I know for the person, it's so important that all the other like working stuff doesn't matter anymore. So we really, when somebody got a problem, we like change it right now, talk to them right now. That's I think a big point. And I think that's a lot of like managing people, a leader, do not focusing on the people. They are always focusing on their KPIs. And I'm a banker. I'm really, numbers obsessed. But I know, okay, when people do not feel happy in your company with you as a person, numbers doesn't matter anymore. That's one big topic we try to implement to all our people working here. And the other thing, more like practical wise, that we have a weekly structure. Like with all leadership persons, I only talk once per week for 1 hour. This hour, it's like with an agenda. It's really a structure. It's really bam, 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 bam. And besides that, we are not talking. So nobody never would ask me here when I go to toilet, yo, Johannes, can I have 2 minutes? And then, okay. And then another person. So it's really like, unorganized. So we really have a lot of structure here, because every leadership person know, okay, my time slot with Johannes is at Tuesday, one from 1 to 2. All topics I have, I talk with him in this hour. And that's really important that the people are got this mindset, because especially in smaller departments or small startups, when they grew up, they got the first like 5 to 6 or 8 people you can handle like this. Okay, I'll talk in the office and stuff like it. But when your department or your company is more than 10 people, it's got crazy. Then like your brain is exploding. So you have to be really, really organized and structured. And that's a really main thing in our company, that we have a lot of fun here, but there are also rules about like there are time slots and then you have to perform and that's your showtime.
Have you ever experienced people that can't keep up with your speed?
For sure. The honest is last year, like we lost 30% of our employees. And also a soccer metaphor, like there is a small club in the German Bundesliga. It's called Hoffenheim. And Hoffenheim went...
I was hoping you were talking about Fortuna Düsseldorf.
I got not the numbers about Fortuna Düsseldorf. Maybe next time. But Hoffenheim went from the third or Regionalliga, so that's the fourth Liga in Germany, to the Bundesliga in 4 years. Like they got upgraded. I do not know the exact English name. Every year they got like first and then they got up in the Liga. And then... I told my team internal how many people got from the Kader, so of the team of Hoffenheim, in the third Liga, how many people got in the first team of Hoffenheim? How many do you think?
Christian, you're the soccer expert. Come on.
10? 3 people. And they not even started in the first 11, not in the starting half. And that's the comparison I make at Snox. Like your question, you have to be like so crazy fast in self-development, and it's really tough to handle. And over the last years, a lot of people can handle this, but it's not for everyone. And like Hoffenheim, of like a Kader in Germany, in a football team, it's maybe about 30 people. Only 10% handle it in 3 years to play also in the third Liga and then playing in the first Liga. And that's the same in a like crazy growing startup space. It's for the person itself, it's hard. And I do not want to talk in detail about the people, but I want to be also really honest. It's really hard to hang on and get the speed and develop yourself even further and getting better and better.
Mm-hmm. You were talking about your leadership team. I read that your CFO just became the co-CEO. What's the rationale behind that move?
He got the speed. That's the short answer. And the long answer, like my co-founder Felix, swift his focus on personal stuff. And we are really good in contact and everything is fine. But after like, I think, 7 years building up Snox and deprioritize everything else, like personal stuff, all the bit for his was the point, okay, I want to see something else, not business-wise. I want to focus on personal and private stuff. I want to step down, Johannes, and then we look into our company. Is there somebody who got this, like the power and the speed and the mindset? And there was Rehan, our CFO. He got in our really main and biggest leadership team of all over the last 4 years. And right now, Rehan and me are the two CEOs of the company. Felix has stepped down in November, December, or something like that. And right now, there are new people coming. But I think nobody can be angry about Felix, like doing a job for 7 years. And it's a fucking roller coaster. That's normal life. And let's see what he's doing next.
And Johannes, you mentioned lost 30% of people who left Snox. Is this correct?
Yes, it's combination of they left by themselves and we have to like find a deal for both sides. It's better. But for me, it's a really, really important thing that most of them are even happier after that. Because imagine soccer, when you're not good enough for the team, like somebody passes you the ball and you do not can pass it back, it's hard for the player itself. You do not want to say to yourself, oh, I'm not good enough. It's hard. It's a really, really hard decision. So sometimes we have to talk in detail with the person, say, do you think for the next 12 or 24 months, you're the right person in this position right now? I don't feel happy about you right now because I see you're struggling with your team or with your job. And we managed all of the 30 people, something like that, who got even better jobs right now, because it's the same when you play at Bayern Munich for 1 or 2 or 3 years, then you can go to every other club in Germany after that, because you have been to the Champions League, then you can go everywhere else. And that's the same when you work at Snox, kind of, in Germany e-commerce. When you work at Snox after that, like, you got so many headhunters and people texting you on LinkedIn. So here,
so you are already the Jürgen Klopp of e-commerce.
I think in Germany, I got a really good position and I'm really blessed for that. And it's crazy what kind of like people want to work with us. And that's really when I have to decide black or white. If we, I would say yes, we did it with Jürgen Klopp. Our personal branding team did a really great job after the last 2 or 3 years. But next year, maybe it's another step. I do not know.
And I guess a lot of people want to work for Snox, as you mentioned. How many job applications do you get again, like roughly?
800 per month.
800.
And we hire per month right now 2 to 5 people maximum. So it's hard to come in. And I'm feeling really sad for all the people are texting us. And this morning I had a meeting with a crazy application from one of the biggest fashion companies in Germany. And the person, I asked her, why you want to change? I was, what the fuck? You want to come to us? Your job is fucking amazing. She was, yeah, I want to be working with you, Johannes. I want to work for Snox. I would change right away. And I was, okay. That was kind of a moment where you believe as a, or recognize as a founder, okay, it's crazy. Like, how many people want to work with you? That's meaning a lot for me.
And we don't have any e-commerce background, but if we would apply for a job, would we know how sales works, right? So do we have a chance?
Yeah, for sure. We are searching right now. So it's person.
You don't know my e-commerce background, so we have to drink a beer tonight.
Quick fire round.
Okay, now, Johannes, let's spice things up a bit with a quick fire round. We'll throw 5 unique questions your way and we want your rapid fire responses. Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
I'm not ready yet.
Question is not.
Question number 1. Amazon. What was the last thing you bought on Amazon and how often are you buying stuff on Amazon?
Light bulbs from Philips Hue, because I'm a techie and I love to do stuff like that. And how often? I think 2 to 3 times a week, something like that.
So what's your next business you will start?
AI company, maybe?
AI, cool.
Question 3. How do you see Snox at B2C, like store-in-store business? Can we soon buy everything from Snox in Snox coffee shops?
Yesterday, I got a big meeting about retail. And first step is partner up with like different retailers. But when we there are successful, then we have a store-in-store concept or our own flagship store. But my stomach feeling is, I do not think that our product category is made for stores only, because it's boring to buying socks. So let's see.
And Johannes, let's say you will be the next CEO of Vodafone. going away from e-commerce, being more the service provider. What would you do different and why?
Wow, that's a really nice question. I would change the price system because you have so many different to think about more customer centric. Like Tesla, there are 5 to 10 like different. It's numbered 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10, something like that. I think that would be, as a customer centric person, would be one of the first. I'm a really happy Vodafone guy, but at home I got Vodafone Unity Media and there I have mobile and then different. And I think that's too complicated on the customer.
You would just simplify the portfolio on the
reduce
terrace
to the max. Okay. For example, at Snox, I handed over the product team 8 weeks ago. I'm the boss right now for all our products. And one of the first thing I did, I cut a third of all our SKUs of our products because a customer do not understand what's the difference in our way between Norvega Socke and Wool Socke. For a customer, it's a warm socks for the winter. We need one socks, done. Not three different, because a little bit, nobody cares. Especially in the internet, nobody can see the difference in material and fabrics and stuff like that. So I'm a true believer of simplicity reduced to the max. And I think all the mobile provider, and yeah, it's horrible. Like every year you got a big new marketing campaign and then there are new ways of talking about your newest, nicest product. And me as a customer, it's the same shit like every day, every year.
So we have something to think about, Christian, I would say. Johannes, finally, if you had to give one piece of advice to future leaders, what would that be?
Focusing on the people you're working with.
Wise words, Johannes. Thank you so much for joining us today and shedding light on the incredible Snox e-commerce business.
Thank you guys for coming over.
Thank you for joining us on Connecting for Future. To our listeners, don't forget to check out Snox for the latest in stylish sock innovations. Until next time, stay stylish and keep stepping into the future.
And just one more. I read that socks are not even the
main category.
Yeah, it's women's underwear, right?
Nee, men's underwear.
It's
got
men's
the biggest,
underwear.
Then socks, okay. And then women. But also sport, it's getting bigger. So let's see. When we are talking 1 year, maybe sports is bigger than just the socks.
Exciting times ahead.
Yeah, and my wife got up this morning. She said, if you go to Snox, I want something. Doesn't matter how much you have to spend. Bring me something.
Nice. Okay. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye.